Good afternoon, Rabosai. We have the third in our series on different inyanim leading up to the Chag HaSmicha. We are very excited. The Chag HaSmicha is now like 9 or 10 days away. There's much to do yet. We have 230 musmachim, which is really very exciting. That's way, way beyond the number of musmachim we've ever had at a Chag HaSmicha. We encourage all of you to be here that Sunday. I can't get you into Lamport Auditorium unless you're going to hang somewhere from the rafters. The room will be packed, but we'll have shiur that morning till 10:30, regular shiur. And then we'll have a viewing of the Chag HaSmicha here starting at 12 o'clock. It is an incredibly inspiring event to see the power of that event. And really just the Kavod HaTorah. The Kavod HaTorah that's apparent at that event is really something to watch. And then at 2 o'clock, the event, the formal event ends, and we have dancing on Amsterdam Avenue. Mirz Hashem will once again get 70-degree weather like we got last time. But we're keeping our eyes on that. But Mirz Hashem will have dancing on Amsterdam Avenue. We'd love for you to be a part of that and the entire celebration. So please be here next Sunday for a regular day of shiur. And then the Chag HaSmicha. Upcoming parts of this series leading up to the Chag HaSmicha. On Monday, we'll have this coming Monday, Shushan Purim. We will have Shiurim in both Batei Medrash. Rav Shechter will be speaking in the Gluck Beis Medrash at 11 for all those who learn in Gluck. Rav Willig will be speaking in the Fishel Beis Medrash at 11. For all of those who learn in the official base medrash. Rav Kahn will be speaking on Wednesday at lunch, and Rabbi Jonathan Sachs will be giving the Sichas Musar next Wednesday night. We have today Harav Michal Rosenzweig to give a shiur klali on the parameters of smicha, and it's our great honor to have you give us the shiur today, and of course to welcome Rabbi Dr. Rosenzweig. No shiur could be complete unless we have you here as well.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, firstly. Appreciate the brevity of the introduction as well as the warmth of it. Bershus, Avi Mori, the Rosh Yeshiva who are here. Today, of course, is a Tainus Esther, and we're on the cusp of Purim, which, as we know, is also the holiday of Kimu B'Kiblu, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar, the idea of renewing of the covenant and of our commitment, especially to the concept of Mesorah, the part of the Torah Shebaal Peh, which focuses on the legacy L'dorei Doros that began at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and that has allowed halacha to be a dynamic system of law able to confront issues in every generation. We speak of Kimu V'Kiblu and the idea that what happened in Persia all those years later is a reaffirmation and a deepening and an extending of the Mesorah that in itself highlights that special character of the Mesorah, which is a unique feature of the halachic system. And therefore, it's fortuitous, except maybe it isn't fortuitous. Again, since today is Tainus Esther, the Rambam explains in the beginning of Hilchos Tainus, Perek Aleph, that the philosophy of Nikra Nikre, that things happen just by coincidence, is a philosophy of Achzariyut, so maybe we shouldn't say that it's fortuitous. But on another level, certainly it's an opportunity when Purim and Inyanei Purim coincide with a special exciting time in our yeshiva, celebrating the milestone of a Chag HaSmicha, allowing us to acknowledge the achievements of individual musmachim, to pray homage to the yeshiva as a whole and the contribution that it's made, its ongoing service to Klal Yisrael, as part of that same glorious Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, Ish Mi Pi Ish, Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. So to be able to speak about these two things which converge is really a special skus. In the context of the anticipation of the upcoming Chag HaSmicha, it's an appropriate time to reflect and to explore the character of the institution of Smicha, which is our topic today, even the significance of the use of the term Smicha, which is something, as we'll explain, which is not at all obvious when applied to the ordination or rabbinic authority that is given to young Talmidei Chachamim Bizmanenu. The fact that that term is used is something which itself is significant, and examining that provides us a better opportunity to appreciate both the attainment, why it is that we celebrate the way that we do, but especially it provides us also the opportunity to take stock, to assess the significance, the scope, and the question of responsibility that is very much part and parcel of the concept of smicha. After all, it should be obvious, but it's not always obvious to everyone, that smicha is not a PhD in rabbinics. It's not a terminal degree. It's not only about knowledge, information, and even the capacity, methodologically, right, to be able to paskin shailas properly. It is about all of that, but it's about much more. Really, smicha, in all of its iterations, as we'll discuss, is a credential for young, committed Talmidei Chachamim to become ambassadors of Torah and Yira and all of that that implies. So what I'd like to do today in the brief time that we have is to survey briefly three different ideas of rabbinic authority that we find in the Gemara. Sometimes they're all called smicha, which, as I've indicated, is not self-evident at all, but is very significant that we use that terminology, and to try to provide both the historical and halachic context for modern-day smicha, but most importantly, to try to identify some of its most important features as a way of better appreciating what our celebration is all about. So for the shiur today, what we're going to do is briefly undertake a comparative analysis of three different aspects or facets of rabbinic authority, each of which normally would constitute an independent topic, requiring certainly more than 15 or 20 minutes each, obviously. But our intention is to try to compare and to analyze all of these in a comparative way to identify two core components which apply to each of these three. Sometimes these are intention, but really they're intended to be both dialectical, but especially integrated in the world of smicha. On the one hand, the concept of minui hagavra, the idea that rabbinic authority is a status, even a stature, which basically invests a Talmud Chacham, right, with a certain authority by virtue of who he is. Certain people on the very highest echelons, a walking Sefer Torah. We're not going to be able to explore that concept today. But the idea of minui hagavra, a religious persona who is holistic in his, not only commitment, but in his knowledge and his level of authority, an authority figure who embodies within him the values, the knowledge of Torah. But at the same time, an individual, the second component, who is given license, who is given the methodology and the permission to function as a posek, to render piskei halacha as well. While sometimes these two, the status of the samuch, or the person who receives rishus as a gavra, who has achieved a certain amount and who has a certain transcendent status, and the second component, the capacity and the obligation that he has to actually apply his learning and his knowledge to real-life situations in piskei halacha, while sometimes these components are intention. Obviously, they're intended ideally to be complementary, and together, in balance, they basically address two critical challenges that the Gemara and Chagiga, based on Psukim and Mishlei, tell us are challenges that we need to address in every generation. Rabim Chalala Mipila refers to people, individuals who have studied, but apparently studied not enough, or a little bit over their head when it comes to applying piskei halacha where they're attempting to do so. Misha lo higia lahara umbore, the harugim v'atzumim kol arugeha, which is the second one, which is mi shehigiyah lahora, right? The person who has the qualifications and has the credentials to be a posek, but ain't a mora, but who ceases and desists, who disengages from that obligation. The idea that there are two components. Number one, worthiness, the gavra, somebody who embodies what a samuch should be on the one hand, but at the same time he has the obligation to be involved in a leadership position, is actually the ideal, the person who avoids both of these, although it should be noted also, they're not equal problems, they're unequal problems, as the Gemara says in Chagiga, and the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Sanhedrin, and the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Talmud Torah, they're not equal problems. The problem of Misha Mora, when he's not worthy, is a much more, obviously, egregious offense. But ideally, we want people who are Mora Hora, who are worthy, and who are engaged as well. So what I'd like to do is to take a look at three different phases, or three different facets of smicha, as we sometimes call it, and to see how these two motifs, the motif of personal stature and status, a person who is worthy, deserving, and treated as a gavra samuch on the one hand, and the authority, actually, the netilas rishus, the rishus to be mora hara, see how they play themselves out a little bit differently in each of these contexts. Obviously, we're going to be going very quickly and just touching on some of the major issues, but then just to draw out some of the implications of that. Before we begin, let me just take a step back and just explain why this is a bit of a difficult topic, certainly for an hour shiur, even for a multi-hour shiur. The source of rabbinic authority is a complex topic, not only due to the substantive issues, some of which we'll touch on, but because of the terminological problem that I alluded to before. The historical and factual confusion, what does smicha really refer to? And it's not just a question of reading the Makoros and then you walk away with a completely clear picture either. We remain with a level of uncertainty or confusion even once we've confronted the Makoros themselves, because partially Chazal, Ledore Doros, intended to overlap some of these ideas, and that in itself is very significant. Terminologically, when we use the term smicha, rabbinic ordination, we primarily refer to the classical smicha, which, according to the Rambam at least, is referred to in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Dav Beis Amud Aleph. Mishnah there speaks about smichas kenim begimel. Rashi says that it refers to smichas par halim davar shel tzibor, but the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos suggests that it has a double meaning, and that in itself is very significant, a shared meaning together with par halim davar shel tzibor, smichas zekenim, what the Gemara certainly speaks about, mismach savi, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, what Yerushalmi calls Minui Dayanim, which is also interesting, the Bavli calls Mismach Savi, right? The idea of smicha, of the hands that are put on top of the korban, that idea is applied to smicha sekenim as well. That's the classical smicha that we refer to. It was inaugurated by Moshe Rabbeinu. We read about it in Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar, and then later some of the Zakenim. The first recipient was Yehoshua bin Nun, right? Normally it requires, according to the halacha, a bezdin shel gimel, a bezdin composed of three. We'll discuss who they are in a minute. But basically, that's what we're talking about. It's the involvement of a donor who is masmich and a recipient who is a samuch. According to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, both of these need to be present in Eretz Yisrael. Gemara had a hava mina that it's even more crucial for the masmich, the donor, the person who's giving the smicha, to be in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe one could have conceived of the possibility of the samuch or the nismach being in Chutz Laaretz, but the Gemara rejects even that. Both samuch and nismach need to be together in Eretz Yisrael for this authority to be effective. In any case, this is the authority which is the basis for being done dine knossos, for being done dine nefashos, and ideally for other areas of halacha, including gzelos v'chabalos, if not for shlichus hayu kav dinan, as well. And yet, at a certain point in history, This institution of smicha, which required ish mi pi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu, an unbroken chain of tradition, as we'll discuss with everything that that implies, was broken, and the institution of classical smicha was no more. And yet, the term continued to be used, and this is very fascinating, because the world of halacha is a very precise world, it's a legal world, and the use of terminology is always symbolically significant. Sometimes we find that smicha is either used to depict, or the rules of smicha are employed interchangeably with issues having to do with another facet of rabbinic authority. That is what's known as netilas rishus mireish galusa, or min hanasi shebe'eretz Yisrael. Something that the Gemara speaks about, we'll be documenting each of these quickly, in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, on daf hei omid aleph, and daf hei omid beitz. The fact that the rules are interchanged and overlap between these two phases, that sometimes the word smicha is used in connection with this second element as well, is surely significant. The Ribar Beirav, his famous kuntres on smicha, and some of the Nosa Kalim of the Rambam, as we'll discuss in a couple of minutes, actually integrate treatments of these two topics. In other words, if the Gemara says a certain rule or certain norm about the Tilas Rishus Mireish Galusa, here and there, we'll find that that same application, right, is assumed to be applicable as well to classical smicha. And surely that's a leap, but a significant leap, which ties these two institutions together. The third phase, or the third facet, is what we refer to as modern smicha, which is heter hora mirabba. Again, something that the Gemara speaks about on daf hei omid beis. In Ashkenaz, this was referred to as smicha, the famous tshuva of the Rivash. He discusses whether this is appropriate or not, but not only in Ashkenaz. Earlier in the Babylonian sphere, from Shmuel ben Ali and the Ri Bartzaloni in his Sefer Ashtaros, in his Ksav Smicha, also refer to this third phase, the Tilas Rishus Mirabo, as Smicha, even though, as we'll discuss, it seems that the content, the substance of that third phase, doesn't necessarily warrant or justify the terminology, in which case the terminological decision to use this phrase becomes very significant hashkafically, possibly even halachically. Another reason for confusion when it comes to this topic is the historical question. And my father is here, so lo hiti mityamer, I wouldn't presume to talk about the history part. But everybody is well aware that there is a lot of confusion regarding the history of smicha. Firstly, what I alluded to before, when did classical smicha end? The Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, Kufnun Gimel, Asei Kufnun Gimel, when he talks about Kiddush HaChodesh, and in his commentary in the Mechamos, in Gitin Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, and other places, seems to suggest that already in the 4th century there no longer was classical smicha, ish mi pi ish mi Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet there are some Gaonim who at least were conducting themselves as if that classical smicha continued even down to the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th century with respect to the capacity to be done dinei knossos and certain other issues as well. What is the status of the smicha of Ashkenaz in the 14th century? Again, a subject of much discussion and debate in its time and afterwards. And then, of course, there's the famous smicha controversy of the 16th century, when in Eretz Yisrael there was an effort, the whole argument, the Mari Beirav and the Ralbach, the involvement of all the Gedolei Yisrael at that time, Rabbi Yosef Karo among them, Moshe Alshich, the Mabit, all of the greats of the 16th century, to try to determine whether it would be possible, based on a very innovative suggestion of the Rambam, both in Yalach HaZaka and in Pirush HaMishnayos, that we could reintroduce classical smicha by the haskama of either all or the majority of Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, Shabbat Eretz Yisrael. And the question of whether or not, you know, the effort to do so in the 16th century was in fact effective or not. Mostly what I'd like to focus on, though, it's not the confusion, but the conceptual interrelationship of these three levels, despite the clear differentiation. And primarily I want to focus on identifying these two motifs, the idea of the status of a samuch begavra, somebody who is korele rebbe, as we'll discuss in just a minute, as well as the function, the license that it gives him to be done, originally dinei knossos, etc. What is the relationship between the status, the stature issue on the one hand, and the license on the other? So let's begin with the first institution, the one that seems to have cast that long shadow. We still, as we indicated, refer to smicha as smicha, or license as smicha, and surely that's because that initial institution continues conceptually and possibly even halachically to impact upon us. Certainly as inspiration, and probably as more. Let's begin with the beginning. What was the nature of that original smicha between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua, and then by extension the Zakenim, and going forward until the institution of smicha was historically disrupted? Are we dealing primarily with a prerequisite for Horah and Din, especially Dinei Knossos, or is that simply a natural result of Kori LeRebbe, of achieving the status of being one of the Chachmei HaMesorah? So the source itself is Yehoshua, and of course the Psukim in Parshas Baaloska. And what's fascinating about that is that if you read the Psukim, what emerges is not so much about Dayanus or about rabbinic authority, paskening, it's about the general concept of leadership. Indeed, there's nothing about Din and Horah in the Psukim at all, although the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, sees this as the paradigm, partial paradigm at least, of the initial smicha. The Torah says in Perek Chav Zayin, in Parshas Pinchas, we read these Psukim, Chav Zayin, Tazayin through Chafei, Vaydaber Moshe al Hashem leimar, Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos l'kol basar ish ala eda. Even the description of the Rabbono Shel Olam in this concept as Elokei Aruchos l'kol basar, right, ish ala eda, establishes that what we're really focusing on is leadership, being the ambassador of the Rabbono Shel Olam, which shouldn't surprise us, because Torah Shebaal Peh informs us that the term Elohim, which I said as Elohim and not as Elohim, right, actually refers to Dayanim, Smuchim, based on this idea. The Nikra Balabayis El Ho Elohim, right, represents the Dayan Samuch. So Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar, when we need an Ish Al Ha'eda, somebody to represent the Rabbono Shel Olam's interest as the Manig of Klal Yisrael on a Ruchnius level primarily, right, this is what we're looking for. And what is that job description? Asher Yetzei Lifnehem, Asher Yavo Lifnehem. There's a difference between Latzeis and Lavo, it's not for us right now. Asher Yotzeim, Asher Yivieim, even those are different. Velotia Adas Hashem, Katzon Asher Lehem Ro'eh. We're talking about a Roe Yisrael, somebody who is going to be a spiritual mentor to represent the interests of the Rabbono Shel Olam. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Kachukas Yehoshua Ben Nun, and what are his qualifications to be the first recipient of this paradigm? Ish Asher Ruach Bo. He is a man of Ruchnius. V'samachta Es Yadcha Alav. Gemara tells us this is the only situation of smicha biyadayim, right? The Re-Barceloni in his shtar of smicha seems to have had a different girsa of that Gemara. That in itself is very fascinating. But certainly that's the way the Rambam paskins, and that's the general understanding. We call the institution smicha because of this paradigmatic Moshe Yehoshua event, which was never repeated again in history. Again, a very significant fact. Terminology is important. Terminology is something, in this case, that flows from a certain aspiration of a single event in history. This is not just about being the Rabbono Shel Olam's ambassador, it's about being his ambassador to Klal Yisrael. And that surely has its own challenge. It also requires a sensitivity to the different strata of leadership there, and their interests. And that's why it's Lifnei Kol Ha'eda, it's also Lifnei Elazar HaKohen, there has to be a recognition of the different components in the configuration of leadership and following in Klal Yisrael. And then we're told, V'nasata mehodcha alav, truly an ambition, there Moshe Rabbeinu to give some of his unique spirituality, leadership, hodcha, we don't even have a good translation for it, l'man yishmu kol adas b'nei Yisrael. V'lifnei Elazar HaKohen yamod, v'sh'alo b'mishpat ha'urim l'fnei Hashem, al-piv yetzo, al-piv yavohu, hu v'chol b'nei Yisrael ito, v'chol ha'ida. V'yas Moshe kashetziva Hashem, oso v'yikach es Yehoshua, v'yimideu l'fnei Elazar HaKohen, v'lifnei kol ha'ida, v'yismach es chad ha'ala, v'yitzadeu, kasher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe. There are enough components in these psukim, you know, for a shir in its own right, but we don't want to get too distracted. But clearly, the notion that we're dealing with a person, Yehoshua, who begavra, achieved a certain stature, and was going to become the leader in all of the different aspects of Klal Yisrael, holistically, is something that emerges, that there is an element beyond that which can be apprehended in a very logical way. There's something about the spirit of Yehoshua and the hod of Moshe Rabbeinu which is being transferred, and symbolically, by smichas yadayim at that. The Netziv has a famous comment where he suggests that smichas yadayim, tries to prove it, signifies the amorphous but critical concept of siyata d'shmai, a concept which we find in later smicha as well, particularly in the Gemara in Masechet Ksuvos, Tav Samech, Samech Lamed Beis, where the Gemara says that a person should not be mora hora b'mokom rabo, when his Rebbe is there, even if he gave him permission generally, v'lo mishum afgirusa, not just because it's an act of rebellion and disrespect, but ele mishum delo estaya milsa, that he won't be vouchsafed, he won't receive the siyata d'shmaya, which is a necessary component in Psak Halacha, an issue which we'll get back to later on, but again, obviously has its roots in the Smichas Yadayim, in the Siyata Dishmaya effort to transmit of Moshe to Yehoshua. On the one hand, the Smicha of Yehoshua is unique, but it also sets a certain tone. Yehoshua was a Navi, the Smichas Yadayim, as we noted, the fact that he probably also served as Rebbe and Dayan, and Chazal tell us that as well. But at the same time, this was an inimitable event, experience. There was nothing like it following. Indeed, the Gemara itself in Sanhedrin, on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis and Yudal Amud Aleph, looks for the source. How do we know that three are required in Smicha? So the Gemara originally starts up and says, well, the source of Smicha is Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu, Gemara tells us, is either one, or b'makom shivim ish, or shivim v'yachad. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu wore many hats, one might say. But where do you get three? In the end of the day, the Gemara concludes that three dayanim are necessary in the process of smicha, even though it never resolves the discrepancy with the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. As if to say, that while Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua are the paradigm, and while the terminology of smicha continues to be used because of it, in other words, it continues to be relevant, it was inimitable and relevant at the same time. What was relevant about it, among other things, was this notion of holistic spiritual leadership, right, invested in someone, asher ruach bo, receiving the hod of Moshe Rabbeinu. That aspiration, that ideal, is something that continues to inspire smicha all of these years later. The ambiguity of the Gemara's formulation is more important. The Gemara says, what is smicha zkenim? Number one, the terminology of zkenim, mismak savi. So zkenim generally has a connotation of zesh akana chachma, but we understand that it also reflects a certain maturity and wisdom, not just brain power, which is also important, but is insufficient, a certain wisdom, a certain a perspective, moreover, something which has its roots in the past and in past generations. Mismach Savi, Smicha Zekenim, is what the Gemara discusses as classical Smicha. When the Gemara wants to define what that is, it tells us, Korale Rebbe, the Nosan Lo Rishus, Lo Dun, Dine Knossos. Here's where the two themes emerge with even greater clarity. Obviously, Yehoshua was picked for who he was, And the act of smicha and the sinas hod mimoshe was part of his kedushas hagavra. At the same time, he was made the manhig of Klal Yisrael. Similarly, in the next stage, in the smicha of Yoshua, ish mipi ish, mimoshe, going forward, it was korele rebbe, which is all about stature and a certain level of achievement, zaken, samech, savi, and at the same time, nasa lo rishus, ladun dine knasos. Why the focus on knasos more than the pragmatic? If we have time later on, we'll try to get back to it. Possibly, the debate between the Rishonim, what is the character of the three necessary to transmit smicha, reflects this issue as well. The Rambam Shita is that while it's necessary to have three involved in the smicha process, only a single one of the three needs to be a samuch himself. That's Shita Sarama. The other two can be hediotos, presumably. Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rama disagree. Their opinion, very logical one would assume, that if there's a bezdin of smicha, then that bezdin requires three smuchim in order to transmit. In the Chidusha Griz al Rambam, Rav Elville suggests that the Rambam Shita is based on the following idea. And that is that there are two dinim. There's one halacha that smicha cannot be transmitted without the motif of ish mipi ish mi Moshe Rabbeinu. And for that, you need a samuch, obviously. If he himself didn't receive, you know, from someone who received, then he cannot be a chain in that, he cannot be a link, rather, in that chain. At the same time, the Maisa Bezdin of smicha is something which suffices for a Shem Bezdin, and Shem Bezdin, according to the Rambam at least, does not require necessarily a samuch. But I think that one could take this a giant step further. And that is to suggest, can't prove it, but to speculate, that basically these two elements are not just technical requirements, but they reflect the two aspects that the Gemara underscores, and which go all the way back to that Moshe Yehoshua initial episode. The Ish Mipi Ish Mimoshe Rabbeinu is about Mismach Savi and Karile Rebbe. It's about being in a certain tradition and having that sense of responsibility that spans the generations with everything that goes with it. The functional aspect of being a Mora Hora is something which has to be connected to the act of a Bezdin, to a Maisa Bezdin as well. Again, it's just interesting to note that the Rambam in Perek Dalet, Rambam deals with these inyanim in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Sanhedrin, very extensively. Kedarko, he's the Rishon who codifies and organizes these halachos, but also Kedarko, the way that he codifies them really reflects, since I'm not going to have time to develop it all later, the degree of overlap that he thinks exists in these institutions, notwithstanding the Rambam's own tendency as a legal thinker par excellence, to understand that you don't jump from institution to institution. Therefore, his jumping is obviously intentional and significant. The Rambam introduces the idea of smicha. Several times he repeats the formulation in the beginning of Hilchos Sanhedrin. And the question is why? Echad bezma gadol Sanhedrin katana, o bezin shel gimel, trichim shia kol echad mehem samuch mipi samuch, umosh rabinu samuch Yehoshua, biyad, shenemar, and so on. V'chein shivim zakenim, Moshe Rabbeinu Samchan, and adds, V'sheres Alehem Shechina, V'osan Tzkenim Samchu Lakeru. Again, the Rambam doesn't shy away, even in Hilchos Sanhedrin, of emphasizing the spiritual and, I would say, transcendent component of Smicha. Sheres Alehem Hashra'as Hashechina. That's part of the history of Smicha that remains relevant. Then the Rambam says, the Ketzad Hiya Smicha Ledoros, Lo Shi Yismichu Yedeim Al Rosh HaZaken, Ela Shekor Lo Rebi, V'Omel Meherat HaSamuch, V'Yeshul Kor Rishus Ladun Afilu Dinei Knasas. For some reason, the Rambam then repeats in Halacha Gimel, Vein Somchen Smicha Zu Shehu Minui HaZkenim L'Dayanus, which he had just said in the previous Halacha, Ela B'Shlosha, V'Hu Shiyia Echad Meim Samuch Mipi Acherim Kebo Shaviyarnu. So I'd like to suggest is that the Rambam repeated this and emphasized it in the way that he did, because the Rambam was trying to tell us that while the smicha of the Zaken, Korele Rebbe, is something that flows primarily from Ish Mipi Ish Mi Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you only need one in that transmission process, that one might have been sufficient to achieve that status as well. Gavra Samuch. The fact that we also integrate the component of license is something which is also a critical core component of smicha. And that is flowing from the concept of a bezdin shel gimel, even if not all smuchim, being involved in the particular process. I mentioned before, the Ramah disagrees. The Ramah is of the opinion that even the Maisa Bezdin has to reflect gimel smuchim. That could either be because he believes in general that a bezdin and not simply hora requires smuchim, which is a secondary debate that the Rav Zatzal used to speak a lot about, or because he thinks that even if there are two different dinim, one of ish mipi ish mimosh rabbeinu and the other of netilas rishus afilu ladun dinei knasos, these dinim cannot be separated. The two components, namely the gavra who is roi and his responsibility to be out there in Kal Yisrael doing it, these are two sides of the same coin, and the smuchim have to be involved, the ish mipi ish has to be involved in that part of it as well. Possibly, this will be relevant to two other issues that come up. Is there a concept of partial or limited smicha, and is there a requirement of roi b'chol haTorah kula? So the Gemara itself, the Bavli, does not explicitly discuss the possibility of a partial smicha when it comes to classical smicha. At least not, it's not explicit. The Gemara Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Tei Hei Amud Beis, in Sanhedrin, which initially certainly speaks about netilas rishus, mireish galusa, and minanasi, in that Gemara, the Gemara speaks about the possibility of a more limited smicha process. And this, of course, is where we get our modern-day formulation of smicha, yore yore, yadin yadin. For some reason, the yeshiva hasn't been giving any yatir b'chor yatirs, but you know, maybe we can look into that as we go forward. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Hei Omid Aleph, in any case, is the source for all of this. The Gemara says that Rabba Barachano, when he came, ki hava nachas Rabba Barachano lebavel, omele rabchia bar Rebbe, ben achi yore lebavel, yore, yore, yadin, yadin, yatir b'choros, yatir. Then the Gemara says, ki hava nachas Rab lebavel, omele rabchia rab ben achosi, yore lebavel, yore, yore, yadin, yadin, yatir b'choros, al yatir. Then in the end of the sugya, Daf Hei Omid Beis, the Gemara tells us that the Gemara raises a different question, and it's interesting that it even asks it. The Gemara wants to know, what about a temporary smicha, a smicha that is limited in time? And the Gemara says that such a thing is possible as well. The Gemara says here, one second, pshita, lepalga hak'amar, demahan, al tnai mai. Then the Gemara goes on to say that even conditionally or temporarily, there is a way to limit it, the rabbinic authority that we're dealing with. The Pashtus, the Gemara is dealing with the Tilas Rishus Mireish Galusa, or for people in Eretz Yisrael, Min Hanasi. What's fascinating is that the Rambam in Perek Dalad Hilchos Sanhedrin took these Gemaras, and this is, or possibly took these Gemaras, hard to know, and ascribes this conclusion also, or assigns this conclusion also to classical smicha. The Eish Lahan Limnos Lakoma Shayirtsa Lidvarim Yechidim Behushia Roy Lakhala Dvarim Ketzad Chacha Mufla Sheroy Lahoris Bechola Tarakula Yesh Ladezin Lisma Chosel Velitin La Rishus Ladun Lo Lahoros Bisuvaheter O Yitnu Lo Rishus Lahoros Bisuvaheter Velo Ladun Dine Nomonis O Yitnu Rishus Laze Velaze Avala Lodun Dine Knossos and so on and so forth. And the Rambam goes on to elaborate this. And all the Nosa Kalim wondered where he got it from, because the Gemara doesn't say this explicitly in this context. And we find basically debate among the Nosa Kalim. Some of them think that the Rambam just assumed that whatever is true for Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa would obviously be true for classical smicha as well. Or maybe another way to say that would be, it wouldn't be true for Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa if it wasn't already true for Smicha, given apparently the overlap or the pattern of one after the other. Rambam himself in Pirshei Mishnayos in Bechoros points out that the source of this is really the Yerushalmi in Masechet Chagiga, which seems to be speaking about classical smicha and not simply Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa. Either way, what emerges is something which highlights the license theme, the idea that Korele Rebbe Benasal Rishus has a component of being a practitioner. In practice, right, the authority or the licensing authority can limit the application or the ability to serve in time or in area. But what's more significant in light of this, especially since the Rambam, based on the Yerushalmi, based on his reading of the Bavli and his assumption of the overlap, once the Rambam assumes that it's possible to limit smicha, so then the other chiddush of the Rambam looms even larger. Rambam says, and this again does not appear in the Bavli, "Behu sheroi lahoros b'chol haTorah kula." You can limit smicha, but only if holistically you're dealing with a gavra who is roi lakol. Then in the continuation, the Rambam applies this in a pragmatic way. Asuma be'echad me'inayim, who therefore, for technical reasons, cannot be roi negayim, is not somebody who can receive smicha. But the pashtus reading the Rambam's adding that halacha, the basic idea is what he calls roi v'hagun, and that requires a understanding, a scope of kol haTorah kula. This idea presumably reflects two related critical ideas. One is the interconnection between kol haTorah kula. On the one hand, we speak about Torah being Megillah Megillah, but we also speak about Torah being Chasuma. We speak about Miktsos haTorah, right? And there are even different rules in some cases between Dine Mamonos and Isur V'Heter and Kodshim and Bechoros. There are different rules in Psak and other things. And at the same time, Hakeshim, Gilui Emilsa certainly go back and forth from one area to the other. The idea is that Torah is both integrated units, each with their own integrity, that need to be understood separately and independently, but then that bigger picture, that mosaic, is equally, if not more important as well. Somebody who's not roi b'chol haTorah kula ends up being deficient in yore yore or in yadin yadin as well. And that's a critical idea. You can call that a foundation for what I call rational das Torah. You can call it something else, but it's an undeniable concept which the Rambam projects here. And the question is, where did he get it from? Probably from the Yerushalmi and Chagiga as well. Possibly from the Gemara story. The Gemara tells that the person who was denied Yatir Bechoros, it's not because he didn't know, it's because he knew too much. And that's also significant. He was so sharp in his chilukim, in his ability to apply the halacha precisely, that he became dangerous to the community because people wouldn't be able to interpret or apply his psakim effectively and precisely. Only he understood sometimes the chilukim that he was making. The idea that we would suppress somebody whose knowledge and whose qualifications are greater because of the threat of Shaloyu Kishtei Toros, or inaccuracy to the community, is obviously an important theme as well. And maybe that inspired the Rambam's perspective too. But this idea of Rola Kol haTorah Kula suggests not only the unity of Torah knowledge on some level, but more importantly for our topic right now, the concept of Korele Rebbe and the need for that person to have a status and to have stature that goes along with his status in particular. How it actually plays out in terms of other things, knowledge and maisaveiras and soris and all sorts of gear, that is a whole Torah in its own right, debates between the Ksos and Chaschinoch and some of the Rishonim, etc. The idea of classic smicha being focused not merely on the license, but a license which is novea, which stems from the stature, the holistic stature of the individual, is something that is reflected, as I mentioned before, by the Torah Shebaal Peh's understanding that the word Elohim isn't always Elohim, but is a Dayan. and the halachos that flow from this as well. Right now we're not going to discuss them, but the idea of kilala sadayan, the idea of zakin mamre, etc., which again highlight the idea that there's something called a gavra samuch, korele rebbe, who has a certain level of responsibility and who also has a stature as being an ambassador of Torah, which requires that people relate to him. He is obligated to behave in a certain way and is held to a very high standard, and people are obligated to relate to him equally in a manner which reflects that ambassadorship status. Let's look to the second phase or facet very quickly. As I mentioned before, Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa, or from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. That's something that the Gemara discusses, not on Yud Gimel Amud Beis and Yud Dalet Amud Aleph when it speaks about classical smicha, but on Daf Hey Amud Aleph and Hey Amud Beis when it talks about more pragmatic questions like legal malpractice insurance and the koach of kfiya, the ability to impose, for a dayan to impose his will on the Bali Dinim. The Gemara there has a Havamina, that if a person is not licensed by the national authority, the Reish Galusa, which once again, or the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, highlights the fact that you are an ambassador, if you want to take this position, an ambassador of Torah to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, you need to be sanctioned by the Nasi, in some cases, the Nasi or the Reish Galusa, assuming they're obviously qualified, which we'll get to in just a couple of minutes. This idea, which highlights the question of license, also, however, reflects certain issues of stature and of status. The Gemara originally thought that no matter how qualified, if a person doesn't receive the approbation, the licensing of the Nasi or the Reish Galusa, ein dino din. Even a psak din that is perfectly the best psak ever and not one that will mislead the tzibur either. It doesn't make a difference. Without the proper licensing, going through the credentialing that establishes him as somebody who Klal Yisrael is obligated to listen to, ein dino din, a very important havan. Limaskana, lahalacha, the Gemara suggests that if he's otherwise credentialed, lacking the credential of the Reish Galusa and the Nasi, only makes him vulnerable to either malpractice, meaning if a psak din of his goes wrong, then he is obligated to pay rather than being exempt, or, as the Rambam and Bali Tosis each independently understood it, the koach of kfiya for dayanim as well. But the question still remains, are we dealing with only something on the licensing and practitioning level, the technician aspect of being a posek, or are we dealing with somebody, because he has these national credentials, who has a different stature as well? In other words, someone who receives the tilas rishus, mireish galusa, is a different kind of Mora Hora, etc. So once again, we go back to the questions that we mentioned before. Can you divide smicha either in time or in content? And is there something like in parallel Roy Lahoros Bechol HaTorah Kula that will apply to this as well? So what's fascinating is the obviously capacity to limit both in time and in content is really based on the Gemara of Netilas Rishus, Mireish Galusa, and Minanasi, the Gemara in Daf Hey Amud Aleph and Hey Amud Beis. The fact that the Rambam either has the parallel in Smicha or actually derives Smicha from this Gemara, as I noted earlier, may highlight the fact that Netilas Rishus is not something which can be completely disconnected or disentangled from classical Smicha. If the Rambam wasn't only working with the Yerushalmi, but also with the Bavli, then his assumption had to be that lo yitachein, it would be impossible to separate the components of smicha on the level of licensing and practicing if that weren't something that could be done on the level of classical smicha, ish mipi ish, mipi Moshe Rabbeinu itself. And similarly, the question of roi lahoros b'chol HaTorah Kula relates to this problem as well. If the makar truly is the Gemara's story about Bechor, somebody who, you know, was limited, but he happened also to have been not only qualified, but in one respect, holistically, as a Gavra, even more qualified. So then what emerges, again, is this idea, which the Rambam doesn't say, but if that's the basis of his understanding, of Roy Lahoros Bechor HaTorah Kula, not only in the classical, more ambitious smicha of Ishmi Pi Ishmi Moshe Rabbeinu, but even the second phase or facet as well. What's fascinating is that the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos and Bechoros and in his Yad HaChazakah presents two different perspectives regarding another issue. And that is, when we speak about limiting smicha or limiting Netilas Rishus, is it naturally expansive and holistic, but there's the ability to limit it if you so choose? Or is it naturally divisible and you have to expand it, you know, in order to extend it across the board? The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos speaks about the different components, Megillos, Megillos, as being naturally divisible. The Rambam in Yad HaChazakah speaks about the natural state of smicha being Roy Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula and being given Rishus B'chol HaTorah Kula, with the capacity to separate that. And presumably it's the license, not the Gavra, which is affected, as guaranteed by Roy Lahoros B'chol HaTorah Kula. There's another debate which reflects the level of Gavra, a Samuch, in the context even of Netilas Rishus, Mireish Galusa, and Minay Nasi. And that is, does somebody who's been licensed by the Nasi in Reish Galusa, does that automatically give him the capacity to appoint others in the same vein? The Balitosis on Heyomid Aleph assume that just like a Samuch can be Masmich, after all, the concept is Ish Mipi Ish, so too, a person who receives the permission of Netilas Rishus is someone who can pass that on to another individual as well. And the Rivash, in the famous Tshuva Reish Ayin Aleph, and Rabbeinu Yona earlier, in his Parish of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Hei Amud Aleph, disagree. Rabbeinu Yona explicitly, and the Rivash, say, how can you compare Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa to Smicha? Smicha is a din in the Gavra. He is a royal horus b'chol HaTorah Kula. He's a samuch ish mipi ish. It implies a certain status and stature, and by definition, that is transmittable by him. But the Netilas Rishus is a license. Just because he's been licensed doesn't turn him into a licensing bureau, not with the financial advantages that that implies, and not with the Rishus either. So once again, we have an interesting machlokas harishonim, whether or not the Netilas Rishus mirabo is something which is patterned after the classical smicha, right, or not. The effectiveness for Ein Haroi is parallel to that as well, as we noted. The Rambam, again, without a source, which makes it much more powerful, concludes Perek Dalet of the Sanhedrin with the following halacha. Mi she'eino roi ladun, mipnei she'eino yodea, o mipnei she'eino hagun, she'ava rosh galus v'nasal ha-reshus, o shatan u'bezdin, v'nasal ha-reshus, o shato bezdin, sorry, v'nasal ha-reshus, ein ha-reshus mo'eles lo klum, ad she'yir roi. This halacha appears not in the Gemara anywhere, as far as I know. No, Sekelim don't find it much either. They speculate what it might be based on. And it's noteworthy that the Rambam has two formulations, at least in the first part. Eino roi mipnei she'eino yodea, o mipnei she'eino hagun, implying that his moral character, his identification as one of the Chachmei HaMasorah, with all the responsibility that that implies, is part of the story as well. And then the Rambam concludes this halacha in a flourish, typical flourish, Shahamaktish Balmum Lemizbeach, Ein Kedusha Chala Olav. A very striking parallel, which also happens to have some implications for Maktish Balmum Lemizbeach, but certainly that is not for right now. This idea that the Nasi and Reish Galusa, notwithstanding, and that's fascinating because the Gemara links it to Hefker Bez and Hefker, you would think if they want to license someone who's Eino Roy, it might be despicable, but it shouldn't necessarily be invalid or ineffective. Nonetheless, says the Rambam, you cannot turn a samuch, I'm sorry, you cannot turn an Eino Roy and an Eino Hagun into even a quasi-samuch, even the additional qualifications or enhancements of Netilas Rishus Mireish Galusa or Netilas Rishus Minanasi. In addition to the license, these represent or reflect a certain status and stature, and that is something which requires a certain objective level and cannot be compromised. Again, in terms of standards and vigilance of standards, a very important marker. Let's turn our attention to the final phase as we near the end of the shiur. The Tilas Rishus Meirabo, the Takana of the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Daf Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara asks the question, why Yora Yora in addition to Yadin Yadin and the others? After all, why does Hora require this kind of licensing body? The Gemara says, it's based on a takana, Maisa Shahaya. A little late, so I'll just tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says about a certain student who was Mora Hora. He went to a community. He told them that, you know, certain kind of mayim, right, was not considered mayim l'inin hechsher tuma, and they thought he said mei betzayim. He really said mei beitzim. As a result, mistakes ensued, given his inability to properly articulate. This, of course, is the makar for our yeshiva's emphasis, I guess, on homiletics and all the other credentials that are required before you let a rabbi loose on the community. But obviously the idea of the Gemara is the idea that there's this responsibility that a Mora Hora has, and the licensing body has that responsibility as well. He needs Rishus Merabo in order to credential him as somebody who, obviously, Kol Shekein has the knowledge and the Yiras Shamayim to be out there, but even in matters of articulation and so on, even that is a critical component when it comes to the impact that he will have on Klal Yisrael. What's fascinating is that if you look at the Gemara goes on to say that the mistake wasn't only about Mei Beitzim and Mei Betzayim, but actually he happened to have paskened wrong anyway, even about the Mei Betzayim, because he confused the requirements of Mei Chatas for Mayim Chayim and Hechsher Tum. I think what the Gemara means to say with this, although I'm speculating and certainly can't prove it, is that people who are not careful sometimes in expressing proper halachic views, that they don't take the tzibur seriously enough with the proper measure of responsibility, are people in the end who are shoddy in their scholarship and their tochen as well. Either way, this final phase, which is the basis for smicha bizmanenu, is understood with Rishonim in two different ways. The Rambam connects it to Bifnei Rabo, and the Rambam in Perek deals with this question not in Hilchos Sanhedrin, but in Perek He of Hilchos Talmud Torah, which is a Perek that is devoted to Kvod Talmidei Chachamim. Again, we won't read it now, but the Rambam, both in Sefer Mitzvos, Reish Tes, and in his comments there in Yad HaChazakah, explains that the requirement of Netilas Rishus Mirabo is for Kvod Rabo, it's for the prohibition to even give the impression of being Cholek Al Rabo, HaCholek Al Rabo KeCholek Al Hashchina, and so on. Rambam is very strong in this point. And indeed, he mostly does not mention this requirement in Perek Dalet of the Sanhedrin at all. Bifnei Rabo is mentioned in the Rambam in the Sanhedrin, but in Perek Chaf, the only reference to this halacha, but I think it's very important in telling, is that the Rambam includes Yora Yora together with Yadin, Yadin, and the rest. And the Nosa Kalim, like a Mishnah Latar, say, well, according to the Maskan of the Gemara, Yora Yora is based on Netilas Rishus Mirabo, which the Rambam deals with in Parakei Yochas Talmud Torah. Why is he mentioning it here in Hilchos Sanhedrin? The Lecha Mishnah gives an answer based on Tosis, but I think that the Rambam, by doing this, wanted to indicate that while Kvod Rabo is a critical component in this smicha, it too is connected with having a certain stature, a certain responsibility, and making sure that this is someone who is a proper ambassador to Torah. The Rambam's own view is that this is very much a kavod halacha, and if meis rabo, or rabo she'eno muvak, or a person who wants to give a psak ba'akrai, according to the Rambam, this requirement of tilas rishus me'rabo may very well not apply. However, most Rishonim think that this is the basis of smichas Ashkenaz, and that it's more than kavod rabo. And I would argue that the kavod rabo evidence is again something which ends up integrating into the concept of psak substantively as well. Because if a person doesn't have kvod rabo, that reflects a lack of humility, which is a crucial component in psak and in perspective, but it also reflects a certain cavalier attitude to the Mesorah, which in turn affects the content and the ability to deliberate in his piskei halacha. And again, I don't have time to demonstrate that now, but I think the use of kvod rabo is really a reflection of that idea. The Bali Tosas on Heyomad Aleph speak about not only rabo, but the concept of chachmei ha'ir. according to other Rishonim, the Kiddush Aran, the Nasi is Bimakom Rabo. Tosas and Erevin suggests that only a Talmud Chaver is limited by the Takana, what the Gemara describes on Hayomid Beis. But a Talmud Muvak is someone who requires Rishus Mirabo in a much more fundamental way, and as a reflection of the concept of Psak as well. The idea that even this final phase is connected to the pattern of smicha is reflected by the terminology of smicha that we use, or that is used. It's also reflected, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, by the dinim connected with Netilas Rishus Mirabo that are patterned after Netilas Rishus Miresh Galusa and smicha itself. The idea of being kafuf to the person who gave him smicha, and other ideas as well. Indeed, the Ramban at Tshuva suggests at the end of Simen Chav Daled that even the modern smicha of Netilas Rishus Mirabo is something which would require the component of Roy L'chol HaTorah Kula. In the Rama, in Yoredeya, in Ilchos Talmud Torah, the Rama goes back on this idea. There he says, if a person is trained to be Masadar Get, even if he's not Roy L'chol HaTorah Kula, he's able to do that. After all, Rishusa B'almahi, it isn't the classical smicha of Smichas Zakenim of the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Rambam in Perek Dalad, Hilchos Sanhedrin. However, the idea that he might have entertained this concept in the Rama and that it remains a kind of lechatchila is something which echoes as well. The Marik has a tshuva in which he talks about being kafuf and whether you can be someh kisharabo be'ir, where again he assumes that even the modern smicha is something which continues to derive and to define even this third iteration, netilas rishus me'rabo, becomes again a way of filtering and defining and posing standards of who can be Karele Rebbe, the Noson Rishus. What emerges then from all of this is a dual-focused smicha that accentuates the integrity of each of its components, but in which there is and must be natural and ideal integration as well. A personal status, originally even spiritually transcendent in the pattern of Ashras Hashchina, Moshe and Yoshua and the Zakenim, based on intellectual achievement, but primarily on the spiritual persona validated by Chachmei HaMesorah. The worthiness, in other words, to be inducted into that special fraternity. That initial validation is reinforced by the continuing relationship, kafuf l'samuch, of not only the Nasi and Reish Galusa, but of the Masmich, or the body, yeshiva, as well. The process which authorized someone as an authentic ambassador of the Mesorah, Rebbe, Karele Rebbe, is independent, although it's the critical first step for the actual practice as a dayan, noten and rishus, with consequences that remain independent, as we discussed, the idea of Elohim, Elokim, and so on. The second component, the license to actually serve in practice, sometimes enhanced with protections in terms of malpractice and facilitating mechanisms like tfiya, all of that is critical as well. Sometimes it's circumscribed by limits in time and in scope. The implementation of the halacha, though, is never haphazard, but is something which is motivated on the credentials that allow it to be possible. Both of these are core components. Their interplay is different in different phases and facets of rabbinic authority, smicha, netilas rishus, bireish galusa, and netilas rishus mirabo, but in the end of the day, notwithstanding the tensions, both of these are critical. They're both rooted deeply in religious commitment and in the concept of being Elohim Elohim, an ambassador of Torah to Klal Yisrael, in accomplishing the timeless mission of Torah life, past, present, and future. Ish mi pi ish, roi lahoros b'chol haTorah kula. In that sense, as noted, smicha is far more significant than simply a degree. It's significant in classical terms, the fact that the terminology is used, popular usage, puk chazima madabar, despite the differences, highlights that we're not dealing merely with an academic degree or primarily with an academic degree, a PhD in Talmud, based solely on knowledge, even the skillful mastery of method and implementation of psak, though these are surely the first and minimum prerequisite. You have to be ro'i and hagun, even if there is no demand, bismanenu, of ro'i lahoris b'chol haTorah kula. But more importantly, we're dealing with an ethos, with a perspective, a sensibility, a national and historic trust. Korele Rebbe, the connection to Beis Din, Reish Galusa, and Eretz Yisrael. Linked to the sources of authority of the past, Moshe, Yehoshua, and the Zakenim, with a sense of responsibility for the future that is a glorious continuation of the past. Hence, the role of Yiras Shamayim and Midos Tovos, which are so prominent in every single Ksav Spicha that is ever written, or at least certainly anyone that I've ever seen, and which continue to link the licensing body, the Rabbeim or the Yeshiva, to the Talmud. Smicha then is the embodiment of being an ambassador of Torah, so much more than a personal intellectual attainment, though of course it's also that. And therefore, with much greater significance, the ambition of Elohim also comes much greater responsibility, both for the masmichim, to make sure that they're letting loose on the tzibur people who are ru'uyim and hagunim, and for the nismachim and the smuchim as well. The requisite high standards of quality control, both in tochen and method, the ability to articulate, but of course no less, Yiras Shamayim and the self-image and ethos of being part of the Masorah, is something which is a sine qua non, something which is basically very, very self-evident. The spiritual standards and the vigilant responsibility is a core aspect of the very aspiration of all of the components of Smicha. And in that sense, Ashreinu really is a time of great simcha for our yeshiva, because we have, really, this has been our perspective. Baruch Hashem, we've been very matzliach to be zocha to wonderful talmidim, to nurture these talmidim, to try to cultivate these midos and these principles. And indeed, now we find ourselves at a time in which appropriate chagiga is something that is warranted. Lahagdil Torah u'lahadira. Thank you.